And you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Come on, Janie. I want her to greet you. She spoke yesterday. Okay, he's going to call you up.
Thank you.
Let's welcome Pastor Virgil. Thank you so much for coming. God bless you.
Pastor Ina, I'm happy.
Oh.
I understand you wrote that song.
Yeah.
I like that. That was great. Praise God. A minister recently told me that his New Year's resolution was to be happy for 365 days of this year. He said, adversities may come, circumstances may be negative sometimes, but I'm determined I'm going to make a choice because the strength is what? The joy of the what?
Lord.
I love that resolution. And you know what? You can keep that resolution because of the joy of the Lord. He is your strength. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I'm happy. Praise God. Where'd you go? Okay, praise God. Hallelujah. As you know, most of you, my wife did speak yesterday. I'm very biased. I know she was going to do a great job. But I would like her just to come up and share a moment what's in her heart. We're delighted. Thank you for the invitation, Pastor Ina. And we're always delighted to be here. You guys are really part of our heart. And we love you very much. Janie.
Well, greetings.
Greetings.
This is the day the Lord has made, and we will do what?
Rejoice
in it.
Be glad
in. I want to bless each one of you because God is a good God, and it's so good that you're in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
So many people are sitting home or trying to make a choice, but you know, you will be blessed and blessed and blessed by coming to the house of the Lord. I want to tell you that I feel like I'm part of the family, that we have been here many times, but I don't know if you even realize what love you have here and how much there is a unity that I feel. You know, a lot of churches you go into, there's a lot of murmuring and complaining. And when you hit the door, you feel this spirit that comes on you and you don't want to. But I commend you. And you need to turn to somebody and said, we're doing pretty good.
We're doing pretty good.
So welcome, family. So yesterday we got together and we just had a good time, and I only spoke for a little bit, and I can speak for an hour, 2 hours. It doesn't matter. In my class, I'll go 2 hours straight,
yes,
but I promise you,
can.
It's fun. And I love the word of the Lord, and it's so wonderful. Yesterday, we talked about the power of a pure heart and how that God looks at our heart. I know that a lot of you have been having a lot of teaching. You've got great teachers about the heart and how that God is looking at us and how that God chooses us. And I used the example in 1 Samuel. But before I do that, you know, I was really thinking about today and how that God chooses whom he pleases. On a couple of years ago, there was a prophecy that came. It was actually when we were in a different church in this a different building, and we were standing there, and this woman came forth with an amazing prophecy. And I shouldn't have, but I thought, wow, who is this person? And I turned around and looked, and I went, God, really? That person? Because I knew what had happened in her life, and I knew God had transformed her, but I thought, really, God? This is amazing what is coming out of her mouth. And so yesterday I was teaching about how that God chooses whom he pleases. And I was talking about Samuel. And after Samuel, what happened to him was whenever Saul had lost the anointing, it came his responsibility to go and find the person that was going to replace him. And so he goes before the Lord. It was after a while, you know, he was really sad. Have you ever been to a place and that a pastor has really failed and they've messed up, and you go, God, why does a person who knows the word of the Lord, why do they crash and burn? I just don't really understand. But God knows that whatever is in your heart, because sometimes you can have some cobwebs in your heart. And I'm saying that because the Lord has asked me to examine my heart many times. And there's things that I've pushed back in there that I thought I was delivered of, or maybe I had ignored. But God wants us to have a pure heart, and we have to look at it. So you have to look at your lifestyle and what's happening in your life. And where things are maybe not going quite well, or which way. And I know we have trials and tribulations. Believe you, be in the ministry, you're going to have tons of them. But the thing is that God wants us to reflect and to look and to know, and he knows us, that we're human and that we're going to mess up. But what he has provided in his word is just awesome. So Samuel got before the Lord and he says, God, you know, I know you've given me this assignment. And, you know, in the old covenant, what happened was, instead of having the Holy Spirit that would give them inspiration or give them guidance, they had prophets that were appointed by the Lord. And I want to tell you, Samuel was an amazing prophet. He was a child that was given to the Lord by his mom, who had been barren. And she says, God, if you would just give me this child, I will give him back to you. And he gave him back to the Lord. And, you know, the thing that I love about Samuel is this. See, we can be in the Lord's presence and we say that we've given ourselves to the Lord. But one thing that Samuel did was he obeyed the Lord. He listened to the Lord and he would do what his word said. I say a lot of times we become lazy Christians and we become kind of, you know, out of it. And we say, God, I know what it says in your word and I think I'm obeying. But God wants us to obey his word without even thinking or even going in a different direction. We need to have an expectation that he is going to do what he says in his words, because his promises never fail, and we want the blessings of Abraham. So Samuel goes and he says, well, Lord, I was talking about Samuel and how powerful he was. He was so powerful because he had an ear to God and he had a relationship to God. And when God spoke to him, things came together. It was no option. Isn't it amazing that thank God we're not God. I don't know how many people would be left. But he had an ear to God. And whenever he listened to God, he obeyed God. And so he says, well, God, I want to obey you. But, you know, I know Saul. Saul is really a mess. And if I go out and try to do something here, what's going to happen is he's going to kill me. But he did as the Lord had told him, and God gave him an idea. He says, look, this is what you need to do. You go to this place, and I want you to look at this person. And I want you to see what I see and see if that's the one. So he said, look, take something to sacrifice. And whenever you come into the village, say, I've come to praise the Lord and to sacrifice. So when he came in, I told you how powerful Samuel is, right? And how God uses him. When he's coming toward the city, now this is the way that we should have the power in us and how the power of God should be on us and how powerful we are. And we are powerful. We just don't, you know, claim it and we don't use what God has for us. So when Samuel was walking into the city, can you imagine walking on your job like this? When he walked in, the elders started trembling. Because they knew the power of God and how God had used him. And that whenever he spoke, his word was going to come to pass. And the elder says, is everything okay? Is everything fine? And he says, be in peace. Be in peace. So whenever he came in and it was Eliab, I believe, that he was looking at. And he says, he looks like a prophet. He really looks kingly. He sounds like a prophet. But then the Lord spoke to him and said, nope, his heart is not right. You know, God can look at our heart and see if it's right. And we have to examine our heart. And, you know, I just want to be more and more in a relationship with God so that whenever he speaks to me, I obey. And I get those things out of my heart. We are powerful. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm powerful.
I'm powerful.
And listen, in the new covenant, having the Holy Spirit, listen, you can be on fire. And Bert just tell me to quit now. So I want to tell you that God is a good God and that you are chosen. And that God has chosen you. And in wherever you're working and wherever you are, you're in the right place, and that you will have the power of the Lord on you, and you will be able to win people unto him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Stay right there.
Sorry.
That's okay. It's so wonderful when God joins you to a spouse that you have the same purpose in God's kingdom. That makes all the difference in the world. And obviously, I'm very proud of Janie. Many, many years ago, she's done all kinds of areas in our church and ministry, bookkeeper, this, that, and the other. But she started a production of performances with little children many years ago. And the elders didn't give her a budget. But by faith, she raised her own money in different ways. And then that progressed to a bigger play. And we were in Washington. We knew then, because of the way she was growing in her plays, we had to do a stage. It just wasn't a church stage. It had to be a proscenium fly loft. And in fact, our stage is about twice the size of most that is in length and width than on Broadway.
Salvation, that's why.
Yeah. And I'm missing this because, you know, Resurrection Sunday is a few weeks away. And I can remember that in her plays, the first half of the first scene was in Jerusalem, and, you know, the crucifixion of Jesus, he doing miracles, dying on the cross, being raised again to life. And the second half was fantastic. It was like people dressed in gowns in the 1800s, and she'd have 150 people in the choir. And in fact, in the cast, there was about 250 and another 100 behind the scenes, and then vendors. She had live camels, live antique, all kinds of stuff. But it was fantastic because she usually do 3 weekends of performances, one on Friday night, 3 on Saturday, morning, afternoon, night, and then one Saturday, Sunday afternoon. And so over those 3 weekends, we'd normally have around 25,000 people that would come. They would charter buses up and down the East Coast. And she left, she did this for over 25 years. And in fact, they would start rehearsal about 6 months before Christmas. It was that involved. She had a budget then of $500,000, so it's, you know, it was,
which the church didn't give us.
No. That's all right. God used her. We knew it was God when, so, praise the Lord. But anyway, I love my wife. There's many instances you go through, but I remember there was one teenager, and he purposely set hay on fire. What happened then?
You know, that whenever, the whole purpose of the productions was not to, you know, make it a big scene or whatever, but I felt that it was a hook that I wanted to pull people into the house of the Lord and to be able to have salvation. People in a family will fuss and fight and whatever, but they'll come see somebody sing, and we would have big singers and different whatever. But this particular person, the devil's going to be in the midst of drama anyway. He set all the hay on the stage on fire. And it was a mess. You know, things happen. And we had to do a lot of
smoke filled the auditorium.
Damage control to do that. But you know what? God is faithful. And we did not give up. We kept going on. So God will use you in ways that you have I had no idea. But the Lord called us to do that. And the Lord is faithful. Love this man.
In fact, one of the townspeople in the Jerusalem scenes fell off the stage one time. And then another time, did he fall again? What was it?
No,
he fell on one of the backdrops, and the 40-foot backdrop came crashing down. Those are exciting, fun times, I'll tell you.
Okay.
But the most important thing is thousands and thousands of people were saved. You know, God can use you in the marketplace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Love you. Is it right? Thank you. Oh, sorry. Thank you, Tim. Well, greetings, River.
Greetings.
Greetings in the name of Jesus. Give Jesus a big hand clap. You can do better than that. He's a big Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. And Brother Ronnie, I want you to know, we prayed also this morning. I got your text about your friend, Randy. And this church has declared we've come into a unity. And I know you have the expectancy to see that manifestation completely recover in the name of Jesus. Be expecting it. I know you are. And the church said, amen. Amen. Praise God. My text this morning is found in 2 Kings, chapter 4 and verse 9. There we go. And she said unto her husband, behold now. Everybody say now.
Now.
I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Say, I perceive.
I perceive.
Now I perceive.
Now I perceive.
That's my text today. I truly believe God's put something in my heart that I'm on an assignment this morning. And I pray that you will open your hearts, that faith, I declare now, comes to you as we share this word today in Jesus' name. You know, the Jewish nation as a whole never perceived Jesus as the Son of God, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Many people did, but not the nation as a whole. And, you know, Jesus foresaw the destruction of Jerusalem, literally that every stone would be demolished, children would be killed. He foresaw the destruction that was coming to Jerusalem. And in Luke chapter 19, verse 41, I'm going to read most of, well, I think all amplified version today. Listen to what he said. As he approached Jerusalem, now he was coming down the Mount of Olives. He had just sent away a multitude of people. He had told his disciples, cross over to the other side of the sea. And then he went up to a mountain to be alone. And then somewhere, well, I'll get to that in a minute. So as he approached Jerusalem, he was coming down, descending Mount Olive. He saw Jerusalem on the horizon. Look what happened. And he saw the city and wept over it and the spiritual ignorance of its people. All because you did not come progressively to recognize, or you could say perceive, from observation and personal experience, the time of your visitation. They never perceived that the Anointed One, the Christ, they never perceived it, that he was the one when God was gracious toward you and offered you salvation. This word perceive is what I really feel an assignment in my heart today, that you perceive something very special in this church. We find over in Luke 9, beginning of verse 18, all of us know this, Jesus asked his disciples, who do the crowds say that I am? Who do the multitudes, who do the people say that I am? They answered, John the Baptist, and some say Elijah, but others that one of the ancient prophets has come back to life. And then Jesus said to them, but who do you say that I am? Peter replied, the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One of God. Do you realize that the other disciples did not get that revelation at that time? Peter did, but the other 11 did not. I want to show that to you in a minute. In my studying, this is what I've really come to believe. So it was just Peter, and Jesus got excited, obviously, about that. Now, going back to that, when he told them to cross over the sea to the other side, this was somewhere between 3, 6 a.m. in the morning, and you remember a ferocious, I mean a horrific storm arose, and they literally thought they were going to die. They were scared to death. They were going to perish at that moment. Look at this scripture, or listen to it in Matthew 14. And when they got into the boat, now before Jesus and Peter got into the boat, they saw him in the midst of those waves or way over the little boat they were in. And for sure they had to die. Just the water was going to drown the boat. And they were, if you read different translations, they were terrified of two figures walking in this storm. You would be too. You don't see two people walking in a storm like, and on water, and they're not sinking. They were literally terrified. They already knew they were going to lose their life, but now they were terrified. Here's ghosts. Okay, so you recall what happened? Jesus, because Peter got his attention on the circumstances of his life, he was going to drown, his faith left him. Jesus helped him up, they got into the boat, and that's where we pick it up in verse 32. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those in the boat worshipped him with awe-inspiring reverence, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. They really hadn't come to that perception yet, that revelation like Peter did. Truly, we now know you are. They had seen miracles all the time. They'd traveled with him those 3+ years. And yet it was on this occasion the revelation came into their heart. You truly are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You recall when Jesus was coming to Nazareth, his own little town that he grew up in. Just before that, you remember the woman with the issue of blood. Before her was Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue. And he had told Jesus about his daughter that was lying on a deathbed. So they were making their way to Jairus' home. Jairus, thank you. And, of course, as a father, they had a throng of people. And when you're in a throng of people, people are shoving. And it's going to take more time than it would normally get, however far that was. And then the woman with the issue of blood comes along. And she perceives something. If I can just get to him. How she got through that throng, I'll never know. She had to crawl at times. I mean, plus she had lost blood for years. She was in a weakened state. And then she finally got to Jesus because she perceived something about what she had heard about this man. She was fully persuaded. She perceived that God would do something for her if she could just get to this man. Anyway, the Bible says she took all her time to go back 12 years and tell all her testimony. Can you imagine Jairus over there? We got to go. Come on, lady. Get that testimony done. God only knows how long that took. And then as they then begin to progress after that testimony to Jairus' home, one of the people in his home came and said, your daughter has died. I love the response of Jesus. He knew the man had faith in the beginning. But when that servant or whoever it was that gave that news, Jesus said, don't be afraid. That was a critical moment. If he had given up his perception of this, of what was going to happen in his daughter's life, if he had given up, if fear had overcome him, that would have been it. But Jesus perceived that of him. Don't give up. And he didn't. So when they got there, you remember the story, I won't take time to tell it, but Jesus brought a little girl back to life. And then that's where I wanted. So this just happened. Now we're at this place. Jesus left there and came to his hometown, Nazareth, and his disciples followed him. When the Sabbath came, this is Mark 6, verses 1 through 5, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who listened to him were astonished, saying, where did this man, these are his hometown people, where did this man get these things, this knowledge and spiritual insight? What is the wisdom, this confident understanding of the scripture that has been given to him, and such miracles as he had performed by his hands? So they're in wonder, because you know why? They knew Jesus as a boy. Yep. Familiarity. Yes. Yes. They knew him as the carpenter's boy. Yes. He wasn't anything special back then. And they knew. So that blinded them. They refused to perceive, even though they had heard about the miracles. Jesus was the rage all over the place. And you would be too if you'd been seeing those kind of things. And so in verse 3, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary? And the brother, he lists his four brothers, and the brother of James, Joseph, and Judas, and Simon. And are his sisters not here with us? His two sisters were still living there in Nazareth. And they were deeply offended by him and their disapproval. Blinded them to the fact that he was anointed by God as the Messiah. They could not perceive it. The familiarity. This is just the carpenter's boy. Even though we've heard all these things, we're not going to believe that. We know him. He can't do things like that. The next verse 4. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own town. In other words, somewhere else besides his hometown or his family or his relatives, a prophet has honor. But because of the familiarity that they knew him growing up, this can't be. I'm not going to open my heart to this. Even though I've heard of all these things, I'm not going to open my heart to this. And listen, verse 5. He could not do a miracle there at all because of their unbelief, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. Perception is what God's laid on my heart. Open your heart today. In the name of Jesus, open your heart. Perception is so vital for God's people to have perception. Now I want to go to my text again. I'm going to look at the Amplified Version, 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 9. And I want to read quite a few scriptures. Because you may know of this story, but I want you to really listen to it. One day when Elisha went on to Shunem, where a rich, influential woman lived who insisted on his eating a meal. Afterward, when he passed by, he stopped there for a meal. This continued to happen. This was a noble woman. She was a wealthy woman. Verse 9, and he said to her husband, "Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God who passes by continually. Let us make a small chamber on the housetop and put there for him a bed, a table, chair, and lamp." That's a sermon in itself. "Then whenever he comes to us, he can go up on the roof there and rest." Verse 11, "One day he came and turned into the chamber and lay there." He was resting. "And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite woman. When he had called her, she stood before him." In verse 13, the prophet tells him what to say to the woman. "And he said to Gehazi, say now to her, you have been most painstakingly, reverently concerned for us. What is to be done for you? Would you like to be spoken for me to speak to the king or the commander of the army?" She answered, "I dwell among my own people. They are sufficient." Then a little bit later, Elisha said, What then is to be done for her?" Gehazi answered, "She has no child, and her husband is old." Now, I won't go into it, but it was a big thing when a wife did not have children, especially a son. It was a major thing. She wasn't looked upon the same way, not, you know, being childless. And so this in her heart, because her husband was old, she didn't have much hopes for that. No hopes, really. "She has no child," the servant said. 15, he said, "Call her." He called her, and she stood in the doorway. Elisha said, "At this season, when the time comes round, you shall embrace a son." She said, "No, my lord, you man of God, do not lie to your husband. Don't mislead me. Don't give me a false hope." But the woman conceived and bore a son at that season. That was the following spring of that year, as Elijah had said to her. When the child had grown, he went out one day to his father with the reapers. So the child now is years older. He's not fully grown, he's years older. And listen what happens. But he said to his father when he was out there in the field with his father, my head, in other translations, is hurting me terrible. The man said to his servant, carry him to his mother, the father said. And when he was brought to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon. Then he died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called to her husband and said, send me one of the servants and one of the donkeys that I may go quickly to the man of God and come back again. And her husband said, why go to him today? It's neither the new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it will be all right. Then she notice what she said. It will be all right. Other translation says it's well. It wasn't well. He's dead. But what does she say? It will be all right. It's going to be well. Keep that in mind. So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. I think that was about 18 or so miles from. So she had a little journey there. When the man of God saw her afar off in the distance, he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is the Shunammite woman. Shunammite woman. Run to meet her. So go out there and greet her. And he did run to meet her and say, is it well with you? Is it okay with you? Well with your husband? Is well with your child? And she answered, it is well. It's all right. The boy's dead. He's dead. But it's all right. It's well. She had a perception of the man of God. She just knew if I can get to the man of God, because of who I perceive he is in God, then God can meet me. His ministry can meet me in the circumstances I in. Because if she hadn't have perceived this, it would never have happened. Verse 27, when she came to the mountain to the man of God, she clung to his feet. Get a picture of that. She rushed in and got on the floor and grabbed his ankles. And listen to this. when the man of God saw her far off, he said to Gehazi, go, servant, behold yonder is that Shunite woman. Then she, when she got there, she clung to his feet. Gehazi came to thrust her, move her away. But the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed, troubled within her. And the Lord has hid it from me and has not told me. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Don't mislead me. Don't give me a false hope. That's what she's saying. Then he said to Gehazi, gird up your loins and take my staff, his rod, in your hand, and go lay my staff on the face of the child. If you meet any man, do not salute him. If he salutes you, do not answer. What he's saying there is, don't waste any time talking with anybody about anything. Get to her house. Go there ahead of us. Verse 30. The mother of the child said, as the Lord lives and as my soul lives, I will not leave you. And he arose and followed her. She's saying, I'm not going to go unless you come with me. You've got to come with me. Gehazi passed on before them. He got there first and laid the staff on the child's face. But the boy neither spoke nor heard. So he went back to meet Elisha and said to him, the child has not awakened. He was dead. When Elisha arrived in the house, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. So he went in, shut the door on the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. He went up and lay on the child. Now picture this. This grown man is going to climb on top of this man. He put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, head to head, and his hands on his hands. And as he stretched himself on him and embraced him, the child's flesh became warm. Then he returned, he got up, and he began to pace the room. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up again and stretched himself upon him the second time here. And the child sneezed seven times. Then Elisha called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite woman. So he called her. And when she came, he said, take up your son. She came and fell at his feet, bowing herself to the ground. Then she shook up her son and took up her son and went on. Wow. She perceived he was a holy man. She perceived he had a ministry, in that his ministry could touch her life in a miraculous way, only because she perceived the anointing upon his life. Amen. Perception. This is major in God's kingdom. Your perception, I'm telling you this morning, is key. Is key to your ministry of someone else to you. That's key. If you don't perceive their anointing. Now you say, but I know that person. This flaw, that. Yes, all of us have imperfection. Did you realize that God uses everybody? That a lot of us are losers. Do you realize that? Losers. And hopefully we grow in God, we mature in God. But that doesn't stop God from using us. But the anointing can be in your life or my life, and you can touch somebody else with the anointing in your life. But if they don't perceive that you have that calling or that anointing in God, nothing's going to happen. Trust me on this. Your perception determines if you will place a demand upon the anointing of God in someone else's life. It all has to do with your perception. Perception. This became very real to me. I didn't put it together back then. This was umpteen years ago. I went over to Nigeria. We were close friends with Archbishop Benson Idahosa. And we sent our choirs and people to train. He raised up mighty work, hundreds of churches. Then his wife succeeded him and raised up many more churches. Amazing. But he did a great thing in my life. He had his men to go set up a crusade. I think it was about, three cities. He would drop me off on Monday because we had to drive where it was, a bar, wherever. He lived in Benin, Nigeria. And then at the end of the week, he would come and pick me up the following Friday. And then during that week, I would speak to 20,000, 25,000 people. These people are shoulder to shoulder. And It was amazing, the simplest things. In fact, the first night I tried to preach a heavy-duty teaching, that fell flat. But when I just began to preach the simple, simple gospel for salvation and for healing the sick, simple things. In fact, you wouldn't even come out to hear I was so simple. But because those people, they didn't know me, they perceived I had an anointing. If they had known me, they probably wouldn't have had that perception. There was one man I'll never forget as long as I live. There was some commotion over to my right. I didn't know what was going on, but there was something going on. And so I asked the interpreter, what's going on over there? He said, this man wants to come up here and testify. I said, well, let him come. He said, no, no, he wants to pull his pants down. What? A lot of people know him. And his scrotum was as large as a grapefruit that hung between his legs. So he was known. It wasn't there anymore. I'd want to pull my pants down too. I'd been carrying a grapefruit around for years and years. That was a mighty miracle. It all had to do with perception of me. If they hadn't had that perception, people, open your heart. This is so important for you to progress in the vision here. It says, where there is no vision, people perish. That doesn't mean that they don't have a vision. That means they have to have a progressive vision. If your vision is not progressing, you're dying. You can carry on the status quo, but you've got to progress in Jesus' name. You remember the woman at the well in Samaritan? Listen to what she said. The woman said to him, that is Jesus, sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Because of that perception, she, this harlot, went back and evangelized that town. She was on fire because of her perception. Jesus told her, you had this husband, you had that husband. She perceived he was a prophet. There's two things that's common to any local church. Leadership and a body, the church family. Those are the two commonalities of every local church. You've got to have some type of leadership, and you've got to have a body that follows that leadership. A body that perceives who their leadership is. Even though they know this problem or that problem is imperfections, no. You've got to recognize and open your heart to the calling of God on that leadership if you're going to meaningfully go forward to your fullest potential of what God has purpose for that local church. Say amen, church. Amen. When we think about Psalms 133, the unity, do you realize, do you understand, there's only unity that God can really bless, that God can really move in, because the body has to receive the oil. Let me read it to you. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. That's a corporate blessing. That's not an individual blessing. And for that corporate blessing to take place, there has to be unity to the headship. They have to perceive their headship so that the oil can flow down to this limb and that limb and the other limb. If they don't perceive they're under a headship calling, they'll never acquire the great blessing God wants to pour out upon that local body. It is like the precious oil consecration poured on the head, coming down on the beard, even the beard of Aaron, coming down upon the edge of his priestly robes, consecrating the whole body. That can't happen if the body doesn't perceive they're under headship anointing. So, River of Life, I'm here to declare today, this is your holy woman of God. Amen. Now listen to me. We get excited about our perception about a TV personality, TV ministry, and we should. They have callings, gifts, but they're not there through the week. They're not there through the month. They're not, as Hebrews says, watching over your souls, and they got to give an account to God for watching over your souls. Yes. And therefore, you better submit to them willingly and joyfully. Yes. If you perceive who they are in God. Yes. And if you don't perceive she and put that demand, that anointing, place a demand on it, she can never arise to who she needs to be. Just like that Nigerian experience, it was years later that I understood the impact of that. It's because of who they perceived my calling. If they had known me, they wouldn't have perceived that calling at that time. I can assure you of that. Do you see how important perception is? To allow the Holy Spirit to give you a perception, not of all their faults or imperfections, but what God has done in their life and the anointing they have, that particular anointing. It's powerful. And if we will give ourselves to perceive this kind of thing, there's no limits what God can do in this family. And that puts the onus on her. When you begin to perceive, she's got to get before God. You put a demand on her. She better get a vision. Your perception will determine your progressive vision at this river of life. I believe that with all, I know that. Your perception or lack thereof will determine the potential you come to in this church family. Repeat this prayer after me. Father, quicken. Make alive a rhema revelation to me. To perceive my holy woman of God. If this is where God has planted you, and it's got to be, you know that God has planted you. It's not because of whatever speakers or choir, or, all that's great. But you've got to know you've been joined to your holy woman. That's the only way you're going to perceive and place a demand upon her so that God begins to bring things through her that she would never receive if you didn't place that kind of demand. You'll never place that kind of demand unless you have that perception. And that means you've got to be joined to this headship. Listen to my instructor. Somebody put a chair right there, right here. Don't jump up too fast. Thank you, Tim. Pastor Tim. Pastor Ryan, I'd like you to sit in that chair and face the congregation. You didn't think I was going to move over there, did you? Yeah, it's going to be you. Praise God. Sit, please sit down. Put it a little closer this way. Yeah, push it up, son. Move back. A little more. Now, over that way a little. Perfect. I'm going to call the pastors in this room today. And I want you to encircle this woman of God, this holy woman of God, your holy woman of God. And I'm going to ask you to open your heart to pray and or speak what God puts in your heart to pray or speak about. This is your holy woman. I want to confirm this today with your laying your hands upon her. All the pastors, Pastor Kimberly, Pastor Lorraine, Pastors Tim, or is Tim Pritchard here? No. Okay. And then Pastors Tim and Diane Rabelais. Come and encircle her. Yes. I'm sorry. Anyone? Did I miss anybody else? Thank you. Thank you, Polly. Now look at me. Look this way at me. I'm over here. This is serious business. I want each of you to know that this is serious. As you open your heart right now, you go in anyone who wants to go first, second, third, that's up to you. Open your heart. If this is your holy woman of God, you confirm that today in your prayer, whatever you're going to say, whatever God gives you. Lay your hands upon her. I believe this is a landmark today. I honor Pastor Dave, but it's a new day. And if it's going to be a new day, there's got to come a new anointing, this fresh a vision that you haven't seen before. What you've accomplished in God is great, but it's not the potential God wants to bring you to. Do you understand me? And you influence this family of God. If you don't fully perceive or grow into that perception, then what God wants to do here, it'll never happen. You'll maintain status quo, but you're going to perish. So I'm serious. I'm on assignment. Circle her. Whichever wants to go first. Church, I want you to open your heart now and come into an agreement. Just be led by the Holy Spirit. Somebody give them a mic. Now I perceive that this is a holy woman of God. Open your hearts. Hallelujah. Resandoli kotari tala. Timashete. Timashete. Ris, ris, ris. Yay, Lord. Yay, Lord. Crusabatundi locos. New inside. Fresh vision. The anointing breaks every yoke. Kale sumali kundarakala. Yes. Yes. Jesus. All right, each of you begin to speak out of your heart and turn.
Thank you, Jesus.
Go ahead.
So, as I said before, I believe Pastor Dave, but also you, were called of the Lord to come and establish this church.
Amen.
As apostles, you've established this church in the name of the Lord. The authority that he has given you was not just on Pastor Dave, but also on you.
That's right.
So it hasn't ended. It hasn't changed. You still have that anointing and that command. And so the Lord told me that I am to look at you, to you as my pastor.
Yes.
That you have been established here in authority. And under that authority, I choose to be under. So I know because of that, that he has given you wisdom and understanding and power and authority.
Amen.
To make this church go and do everything that the Lord has called it to do. All of it is in you. And so we choose to follow you. Amen.
Pastor Ina, precious woman of God. Amen. You know, the picture comes to me of Elijah and Elisha when he threw his cloak over onto Elisha, and the anointing in that mantle was transferred between them. I thank the Lord that anointing has been transferred to you. There is no woman of God that I would rather serve with than you. You command the authority of God. You command the attention of heaven. And you command our attention in this house. And because of that, I stand firm in fellowship with you, knowing and recognizing who you are, the value that you are to the kingdom of heaven, the value that you are here in this house. And I bless you today. I bless you and I encourage you to stand and to step out and receive the vision that God has for you and for this body, because the anointing is waiting. And I thank the Lord for you. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus. Pastor Aina, in the name that is above every name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, on whom we stand, I want to assure you that you are living in the AD days. After the death, after the passing on, after the arrival of Pastor Dave, there is more ground to cover.
Amen.
There is a lot to accomplish. And just like Joshua, the Lord is asking you to arise as you meditate day and night on all the promises God has given to you. And Pastor Dave, we are standing behind you to fulfill that which God has commanded you to do. The Lord shall strengthen you, give you wisdom, give you a team that shall stand with you, and together we shall fulfill that which was in the heart of God the Father. We shall do this with great delight and joy and peace. And you shall see many, many nations coming here. You shall see people serving with delight. You shall see the evangelism that is in your heart manifest once again. You shall see souls coming to this house. You shall see things you've only dreamed about, you've never talked to anybody about. The desire that you have in your heart shall manifest quickly, and it shall not tarry. And the Lord shall renew you. The Lord shall renew your strength. The Lord shall take away all the weariness. He shall renew you in the name that is above every name. The Lord has given you not only faithful workers, but he shall enable you to raise up others in the name of Jesus. So we stand with you and around you, and we assure you we shall do everything that the Lord has put in our hearts. The desires that you had when the Lord sent you to this state shall be fulfilled in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Pastor Aina, I just want to say that there's nothing that happens that the Lord has not seen. And he saw this day before it was. And you're rightly placed.
Yes.
The Lord is confident that you could do this. And he has put people around you. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. The Lord is wiping your tears and giving you grace and an anointing to do that which you did not think you could do, because he sees and he knew you could do it. You're not alone. He is with you, and he has put faithful men and women around you to run this race. And there's a cloud of witnesses, and Pastor Dave is in that cloud of witnesses, cheering you on, saying, go on, go on, go on, finish it. You will finish it. You will finish it. You will finish it. Like Samuel told Saul, you'll be like another woman, man. You will be like another woman, because there's a strength in you. And it's the strength of God that will arise for this season. For this season. It's not by might. It's not by power. But by the Spirit of the Lord. It is not by might. It is not by power. But by the Spirit of the Lord.
Pastor Ina, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. You've been called by him. You've been ordained by him. You've been purposed by him from the very foundation of the world. In God's sovereignty, and we don't understand everything about what he does or how he does it, he chose to bring Pastor Dave home, and a mantle of River of Life passed to you. So I believe that he has equipped you from the very beginning for everything you need, even the desires of your heart, because you're the one among us that has the vision of this ministry from the very beginning. It was conceived in your heart. So we serve you. At his homegoing, I said to you, we've got your back. And I pray that you feel that, you believe it. You're not alone. And I just pray the blessings of the Father be upon you. You're going and you're coming. And the prophetic mantle that you carry, the mantle of a visionary, the mantle of a seer, would be perfected in you in all things. I pray your strength in the Lord. I pray your joy in the Lord. I pray your peace in the Lord, knowing that he is with you and he surrounded you with people that are also with you. We bless you. Yes. I bless you. We love you, and God loves you more. His word says he will never, ever leave us or forsake us. And I pray you feel his presence here as we're surrounding you, even in this moment. In Jesus' name.
So from the beginning of creation, God already had this planned right here, right now for you. This time in your life, he already knew, he already called you to this time right now. There's no mistake that you're Ina from Carolina. And there's no mistake that God put in Dave's heart and your heart for Carolina. It is meant for you to be here this very moment, this very day, this very season, this very time within this church, River of Life. Not only did he put a desire in the heart of Dave and you both to be here, but I think more so it's more important for you to be here, Ina from Carolina, that you have a job yet to do, a job that you have not been able to start till now. You had a job when Dave was here, and you continue on with that job, but now the job that you were called for is now coming to pass. It is a new season. It is a new time. It is a new place. And I believe, the Father says, now is the time that you're going to shine more brighter than you have ever shined in the past. Things are going to come out of you that you have never even known, you never thought about, you never desired. A new level is coming to you that is above and beyond anything you have ever imagined, you have ever dreamed, you have ever seen. He has placed us here with you. We are called to be here with you, to help you, to support you. We have your back, as Lorraine said. Dave was our pastor, along with you. Now you are our pastor. We look to you for direction. We look to you for advice. And God is going to give you everything you need to carry on and to grow, and for this house to grow unmistakably in measures beyond our wildest dreams. He has equipped you in things that you don't even know you have yet. Things that are going to be aroused in the coming days that are going to bring new revelation to you, for your team, for your congregation, for the people of Raleigh, for the people of North Carolina. We're not just a church in Raleigh. We are a church in North Carolina, and we're going to reach all the edges of the state, all the edges of the country. This church is going to grow beyond your wildest dreams, the Lord says. We are going to reach so many people in so many nations because of what we do under your leadership, Ina. Under your leadership. As you look to the Lord and you pray for wisdom, you pray for direction, he is going to guide your steps so that you can lead us and guide us in a way that you have never thought of before. And we just thank you. We bless you. We love you. You not only are our pastor, you are my mother, whom I dearly love. You are my friend. You are a sister. You are loved by so many in this church. And we have your back.
Somebody help her adjust the chair to face me. Have a seat. Today is a new day. This is a landmark. There's been a shift. If you will receive it, have you received or will you receive everything they've said? It's very important you receive it. I'm telling you as a word of the Lord, do not ever question, I can't do this, I can't do the other. That grieves God's heart. No, you can't. But the Holy Ghost in you can. And if you will remain dependent on God, there's a condition, though. You must draw nigh to him, and I promise you he's going to draw nigh to you. You're going to increase in wisdom. That wisdom is already there. It just hasn't been revealed yet. Today is a new day, I know. And you've got to receive it. See yourself anew. To be bold and confident. Never put yourself down. That grieves the Holy Spirit. You have the wisdom of God in you. It's going to be revealed as you draw nigh to him. Do you receive that? Amen. Amen. Everybody clap. I love you.
word of the Lord would come into you and say, God, how could this be? How could this be? I've grieved my heart. My heart is broken. My love has gone to be with you. How could this be? But God said, I perceived exactly how this could be. And that I know that you've been trusting me. And that you've been looking to me. And that your heart has been grieving. And that's fine. And that you know that your heart has been heavy. And you say, God, I'm so lonely. I just miss my love. But God would say to you, Ina, I love you. I am standing in the gap for you. And I promise you, you're going to be like David when he lost his son and he was grieving for him. And the Lord would say to you, it's time to get up, to clean your face, and to be like a roaring lion in the kingdom of God. And that you're going to have joy. And you're going to be dancing like David. And the power of the Lord is upon you. And new songs shall come forth. A new joy shall come forth. A new anointing upon the church. A new anointing is upon you. And this is in my plan. And you will see that the glory is still here, even though your love has come to be with me. God says, I am with you. I encircle you. I caress you into the kingdom of God. This is a new day. This is a rejoicing day. And Lord, we just thank you because this woman is stepping into a new thing and a new kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen.
No, don't need to go into all that. I'm on assignment today. This is very critical. You receive this. Mm-hmm. It's conditional. You've got to draw nigh unto God. Mm-hmm. Don't you ever question you don't have this. No, you don't. It doesn't matter because you couldn't do it anyway if you did have it. It's all God. Yeah. It's all God. Take a boldness. Take authority. Amen. The Lord's hand is upon you. Take this church to the vision God wants you to come to. You've laid a great foundation. Let's build some walls.
Hallelujah. I receive everything. Let's stand. I thank you, Father, for the word of the Lord. I thank you for the goodness in the house. I thank you for your presence. We long for your presence and your touch more than we long for anything. And I just bless them as they leave. I thank you for a wonderful afternoon for everyone. Let them think upon the good things and the awesome things that our God has done in our lives. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. If you need some special prayer, Virgil and Janie will pray with you. And we have prophetic class that starts at 2, is it? And then we also have the food for sale. Anyone that needs the altar team, come on up, please. If you need prayer by them or any of the altar ministry. Blessings to you.